Welcome to the May edition of National Geographic Kids. I'm Chris Radio volunteer Linda Leiden. The front cover of this month's magazine features a day octopus. Weird but true. Check out these outrageous facts. Wolves can get hiccups. The entire land area of the contiguous United States could fit in the Sahara. Tomatoes can be purple. Bonobos blow raspberries for attention. Your body's smell or odor print is as unique as your fingerprint. Giant squid have donut-shaped brains. One species of bird tap dances to attract mates. Creature feature, meet the star-nosed mole. Bubbling up. While underwater, star-nosed moles can blow a bubble out of each nostril, hold them with their tentacles, and then inhale them. This helps the mole smell prey like worms and small fish underwater. Extremely nosy. Their nostrils are surrounded by a star of 22 fleshy tentacles. They use these extra fingers to sense prey in the dirt. I don't need them. Star-nosed moles have small, weak eyes, but they don't use their peepers much. They live mostly underground in near total darkness. Dig it. Shovel-shaped front limbs and claws help these moles tunnel through dirt and paddle in water. Guinness World Records. So big. Betsy Bond definitely made a point with her art project. She crafted the world's largest knitting needles, made with 15-foot-long plastic tubes. The needles had 3D printed points and knobs at the end. To break the record, Bond had to knit at least 10 stitches and 10 rows. We're guessing she had a giant ball doing it. Super Stinger. This ant is a pain in the neck, or whichever body part it stings. Native to Central and South America, the bullet ant has the world's most painful sting. Bug scientist Justin Schmidt allowed 83 different insect species to sting him, and the bullet ant ranked first. The ant's sting isn't deadly, but Schmidt compared the pain to walking over flaming coals with a 3-inch nail in your heel. Yikes! Say cheese! These bakers really shredded the competition to break the record for the most variety of cheese on a pizza. French chefs piled a whopping 1,001 types of cheese onto one pie. Each cheese type had to weigh at least 2 grams, which meant the pizza was topped with nearly 4.5 pounds of melty goodness. Great work, chefs. Bet you didn't know. 6 sparkly star facts. Fact 1. Counting the estimated 100 billion stars in our galaxy would take about 9,510 years. Fact 2. Starquakes are movements on a star's surface that can make it swell and shrink. Fact 3. The hottest stars can reach 300,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Fact 4. In one legend from the Lummi, a Native American tribe, Coyote jungled his eyeballs so high that one became a star. Fact 5. On Earth, a teaspoon of an aging star called a white dwarf would weigh as much as an elephant. And fact six, a car driving at highway speeds would take more than 41 million years to reach Proxima Centauri, Earth's second closest star after the sun. Amazing animals. Spotless giraffe. Bright's Zoo in Limestone, Tennessee. Ojeda Game Reserve, Nibia. You probably already spotted what's different about these two giraffes. Instead of a patterned coat covered in patches, the fur of these youngsters is solid brown. Scientists don't know the exact cause of the coloration, but they know it's rare. A spotless giraffe hasn't been seen since 1972. That makes these two calves, one born in the U.S. zoo and the other seen in the wild in Africa a few weeks later, even more special. Although scientists think spots might help giraffes camouflage or control their body temperature, the two calves seem to be doing fine. And it turns out they likely aren't truly spotless. The brown coating is actually one giant spot. Biologist Derek Lee is calling them one spot all over giraffes. Parrot video chat, United States. Bleep, bloop. Bird calling. Scientists know that pet parrots often develop behavior problems if they don't interact with other parrots. So these researchers wanted to find out if the birds might like to video chat each other. Caretakers taught 15 pet parrots to start a video call by ringing a bell, then touching their beaks to a picture of another parrot. Once they learned the process, the birds called each other 147 times during the study. Some sang to each other or showed off their toys. One bird would often say, "Hey, come here," "Hello," at the start of the call. The social birds appeared to enjoy the FaceTime. Some caretakers even said their parrot became more confident in being a bird. Researcher Rebecca Kleinberg says, "We hope the calls keep coming." Come back, critters. Wildlife between North and South Korea. A young endangered Aztec black bear, also known as moon bear, sets off a camera trap as it walks along a stream. 70 years ago, this land was part of a war zone. The war damaged the habitat and scared off many animals. But scientists have good news. In recent years, they've counted a whopping 6,168 animal and plant species living in the area. This region includes what is called the Demilitarized Zone, or DMZ. It's a 2.5-mile-wide, 150-mile-long area that separates North and South Korea. In 1953, these two countries signed an agreement to stop actively fighting, but the DMZ remains mostly off limits to humans, allowing wildlife to thrive. The area has animals that are rarely found elsewhere on the Korean Peninsula. Environmental historian Lisa Bradley says scientists hope that this area can become officially protected, keeping special wildlife here safe. Undersea City. Meet the animals working in colorful coral reefs. A coral reef might seem like a common, quiet place to live, but the creatures that reside there are constantly in work mode. They're building, cleaning, protecting, and gardening the coral reef they call home, nicknamed rainforests of the sea. Coral reefs are also like undersea cities, with reef residents working together to help their communities thrive. Each role is important for keeping the coral reef ecosystem healthy. Marine biologist Keo Kim says, "Meet the animals in this underwater metropolis that gets the job done." The animals. clownfish, and sea anemones. The job, security guards. A clownfish hovers inside the tentacles of a creature called a sea anemone. Unbothered by the stinging tentacles, the fish eats parasites off the anemone and protects it from predators like butterfly fish. Like security guards protecting a building, clownfish and anemones are protecting the coral reef ecosystem. Because the clownfish guards the anemones, the stinging anemones can help protect the reef from too many sea urchins. An overpopulation of sea urchins can scrape away coral and wear down the reef's skeleton. The animals. Coral polyps. The job. Builders. A tiny, squishy-looking creature wiggles atop the hard surface of a coral reef. The animal, a coral polyp, isn't just hanging out, it's building. The reef it's attached to. The polyp, which is usually no bigger than a pencil tip, has a mostly soft body except for the limestone skeleton on its underside. The polyp divides, creating new polyps as one polyp dies. Another polyp grows on top of its skeleton, adding more limestone, growing upward. Some reef building corals can also reproduce by releasing eggs. Layer by layer, hundreds of thousands of polyps of the same species grow into colonies that can be hundreds of years old and as big as a car. The live polyps are only on the top layer. The rest of the reef is made up of limestone skeletons. Thousands of coral colonies eventually form a reef, which can take up to 10,000 years to form. Reefs keep growing until they're damaged because of events like storms and heat waves. Those polyps are like masons or construction workers who build with stone. Marine biologist Howard Lasker says, but they're slow builders. Many coral colonies typically grow only a fraction of an inch in a year. Over time, a reef can extend 1,000 miles. The animals, parrotfish. The job, cleaners. A parrotfish scrapes yummy algae off the surface of a coral skeleton with its teeth, biting off an old coral as it works. The fish is getting a gritty meal, but it's also helping keep the reef clean. Healthy coral rely on algae to make food for them, but too much algae can smother the reef. So like a dentist scraping harmful plaque off your teeth, the parrotfish scrapes extra long algae off the coral. The parrotfish is also clearing away old, weak pieces of coral to make room for new polyps to grow. According to research, reefs that have more parrotfish are usually healthier than reefs with fewer parrotfish. The animal, sea turtles and Duggins. The job, gardeners. A hungry green sea turtle prunes the seagrass growing around a coral reef, while Duggins mows the tasty plant. Animals like these are the gardeners of the reef system. Just like your lawn, seagrass needs to be cut so it doesn't overgrow the reef. Sea turtles and Duggins and other animals trim the seagrass by eating it. And like any good gardener, sea turtles and Duggins also spread nourishing fertilizer, a.k.a. poop. The cleaner clears waters that coral reefs are primarily found in are low in nutrients, Kim says. Thanks to these gardeners, the gardener's bathroom breaks, the reef gets plenty of nutrients it needs. The animals, reef sharks. The job, police officer. A hungry reef shark casts a dark shadow above a coral city, sending reef residents scrambling for shelter. Without this police officer making sure sea creatures don't break the laws of the reef, those critters might behave badly. For instance, if reef sharks didn't please large fish like grouper, and by please, we mean eat, all those fish might gobble too many smaller creatures like parrotfish, and that could mean algae, which parrotfish eat, would completely take over the reef. Without reef sharks to scare them away, sea turtles and dugongs might completely stuff themselves with seagrass that could destroy much of the habitat which young fish hide in as they learn how to survive. Every ecosystem needs a balance of predators and prey to make sure there are enough resources for everyone, Kim says. Reef sharks bring that balance. Splashy shapes. Check out the three main types of coral reefs found throughout Earth's oceans. Fringing reef. The most common type of coral reef, fringing reef, typically grows directly from the shore and often form a shallow lagoon between the beach and the reef. Lagoons are pools of water separated from the sea by sandbars, barrier islands, or coral reefs. Barrier reef. Barrier reefs are also found close to the shore, but they grow parallel to the land with a deeper lagoon separating from the shore. These reefs get their name because they act as a barrier between the coast and the open ocean. And atoll. Atoll are reefs in the open ocean with a lagoon in the middle. They form after fringing reefs grow around volcanic islands that eventually sink into the ocean. More city life. Dive into Komodo National Park in Indonesia to see other coral reef co-workers. The first one is a hungry sun coral. Algae that lives inside coral tissue provide food for many species of coral. But that's not all these animals eat. Coral like these, sun coral, are predators. They wave their tentacles to nab any zooplankton, teeny tiny animals, that swim too close. Number two, fish house. For fish like anthesis, coral reefs provide shelter from predators, a safe place for their babies, and a buffet of food in return. These fish eat coral smothering seaweed. Number three is our coral eaters. Many reef creatures like sunburst and butterfly fish, sea stars, sea urchins, and crustaceans feast on coral polyps called coralivores. Some of these predators might help coral reefs by pooping out healthy coral bacteria over new areas. Four, feathery friends. Feather star looks like plants, but these animals can crawl, roll, and even swim to a new location. Long, sticky arms, up to 150 of them, trap zooplankton floating in the water. Then the feather stars poop feed shrimp, crab, and snails. Number five, rock star. Starfish like this peppermint sea star feed on small animals and sponges as well as tiny pieces of fish scales, poop, and dead stuff that falls to the bottom of the reef. Stay spongy. Many sponge species, like these encrusting sponges, fed by sucking in water, then filtering tiny pieces of plants and animals. They also absorb elements like carbon and phosphorus from the water. Then the sponges expel it out, creating nutrient-filled food for snails and fish. 10 cool things about coral reefs. Cool thing number one, some coral glow to help algae produce nutrients. Fact two, people have turned ice cream trucks and subway cars into artificial reefs. Fact three, corals can sting each other to compete for space on the reef. Fact four, a coral tree-like growth rings can slow a reef's age. Fact five, surgeons can use coral to help repair human bones. Fact six, many reef-building corals release eggs just once a year in the summer after a full moon. Fact seven, corals are related to jellyfish. Fact eight, coral skeleton, eggshells, chalk, and pearls are all made from calcium carbonate. Fact nine, bubblegum coral gets its name from the tiny pink polyps that live on its skeleton. And fact 10, some coral reefs living today began forming 50 million years ago. Secrets of the octopus. One explorer shares what these ocean creatures are really like beneath the surface. As a kid exploring the beaches of Sydney, Australia, I loved plunging my hands into rock pools along the shore. But one morning, I felt something sticky, and it wasn't sand. I yanked my hand out of the water, then a single eye peered up, staring at me. It was an octopus. It stretched out one of its eight wrinkly reddish arms and touched my finger so I could feel its suckers. Now that I'm a marine biologist, I know the octopus must have been tingling all over with strange new senses. Octopus touch, taste, and smell with their suckers. It's like having a fingertip, a tongue, and a nostril all in one place. I also know that only trained adults should touch wild animals. This was the last incredible octopus encounter I had, and each one taught me something amazing about these smart, shy creatures. Here are some of the ways octopus have shown me their secret lives. Underwater connection. I'm always surprised that even though octopuses are extremely shy and like to hide, it's almost as if they get to know you. They're ready to be BFFs. Once during a dive at a coral reef near Lizard Island off the northeastern coast of Australia, a female day octopus peeked out from her rocky den. She seemed more curious and warm than scared or aggressive. I sensed she was checking me out. After 45 minutes, the octopus swims away. Then she turns her head and looks at me as if to ask, "Aren't you coming?" It's an invitation I couldn't ignore, so I joined her. Before she heads back to her den, she reaches out and touches me with some of her suckers, as if to say, "Goodbye." Then she zooms away. On a later dive, I see the same octopus. I wonder if she remembers me. Octopuses use their suckers to recognize each other, so when she touches me with hers, it's like she's saying, "Oh, yeah. I do remember you." Octopus on camera. Octopuses would usually rather escape danger than face it. But one little creature showed me that it's not always true. I was with a crew filming coconut octopuses in Laba Strait, Indonesia. One of these tennis ball-sized creatures is about a foot away from us, and we're trying not to scare off the animals. But the looks of the crew's faces tell me that something surprising has happened behind me. I turn around and see another coconut octopus charging towards our camera. He jumps on the equipment and crawls all over the lens. I've never seen an octopus be so bold, especially such a tiny little thing. But it calms down after it examines our equipment. I think it just needed a minute to realize our unfamiliar gadgets weren't a threat, and it soon swims away. Flushed away. Octopuses can twist and squeeze their boneless bodies through holes the size of a quarter. but I'd never seen an octopus hanging out in a place like this before. One night, I had dived off a pier into Port Phillip Bay on the southeastern coast of Australia. I was hoping to see an octopus mid-hunt. Usually, it takes a while to spot an octopus, but this time, I immediately see five species hanging out together. A blue-ringed octopus, a sand octopus, a southern-keeled octopus, a pale octopus, and a Maori octopus. These species are all different sizes, and bigger octopuses usually eat smaller ones. So it's unusual that they're hanging out together under the pier. They aren't socializing like animals such as chimpanzees would, but they're at least tolerating each other. But the pier isn't the weirdest hangout spot. This bay is unfortunately a spot where people dump trash, and one item on the seafloor is a toilet. As I'm staring at it, I spotted arm snakes its way out of the toilet. Black pipe. Apparently, a pale octopus has been living inside the toilet. More secrets. Some 300 species of octopus swim in Earth's oceans. Check out some surprising facts about a few of them. Greater blue-ringed octopus. Its venom could kill 26 adults in a few minutes. Coconut octopus. It uses coconut shells for protection underwater. Curled octopus. Its arm tips are usually curled when resting. Poison oscillate octopus. Its two blue eye-like rings scare off predators. Bioluminescent octopus. Its organs can be seen through its translucent skin. Dumbo octopus. It lives deeper than any other octopus species. Wonderpus octopus. The spots on its head are unique to each individual. Giant Pacific octopus. It grows bigger than any other octopus species. Day octopus. It's most active in early morning and late afternoon. Mimic octopus. Its arms can mimic the shape of venomous sea snakes. Common octopus. It can look like a moving rock to fool predators. North Pacific Big Eye Octopus. Its big eyes spot dinner in deep, dark waters. Atlantic White Spotted Octopus, also called a grass octopus. It hides in seagrass. And Ghost Octopus. Its paleness might be caused by lack of color in its food. The Incredible Octopus. Discover how octopuses like this common octopus use their bodies to be undersea superstars. Their muscles. Octopus don't have bones, but are 90% muscle. Humans are only about 40% muscle. Their skin. Octopus skin is covered with chromophores groups of special cells filled with different colors. These cells can stretch out and turn the creature's skin the same color as its surroundings, which can make the octopus nearly invisible. Ink. When threatened, octopuses eject ink that can mess with predators' sight, taste, and smell that distracts it so the octopus can escape. Arms. An octopus sends messages from its brain to other parts of the body through cells called neurons. Most neurons are in an octopus's arms. Each arm can taste, feel, and move on its own. A few species of octopus can detach an arm to distract predators. But don't worry, it grows back. An octopus uses its bird-like beak to open clams and other shelled prey. It can also inject venom. Yikes. The beak pops out from the center of its lips on the octopus's underside to do the work. Suckers. These help the octopus pick up prey and cling to surfaces. Some octopus have about 2,000 suckers. Head. Octopuses can see in all directions. They have an eye on each side of their head. Inside the head is a centralized brain that tells mini brains in each arm how to move. Mantle. This balloon-shaped part looks like a head, but it actually contains the digestive tract and internal organs like the kidney. Hearts. An octopus has three of them. Two lateral hearts pump blood to an octopus's gills, where the blood gets oxygen. A third central heart pumps the oxygen-rich blood to the rest of the body. Siphon. Ink and poop come out through the siphon. The body part can also create a jet stream of water to propel octopuses through the ocean. Movement. Octopuses prefer walking on the sea floor instead of swimming. Some have even been seen walking on two arms. Size. About 300 known species of octopus live in the ocean all over the world. Some are ginormous and others are teeny tiny. The biggest octopus is the giant Pacific octopus. It is 13 feet long. The smallest is the star sucker pygmy octopus. It is 1 inch long. How to save the reef. These eco heroes are working to protect coral. Around the world, coral reefs are in danger. Pollution, warmer waters due to climate change, and other threats can cause coral to die. An international report found that up to 90% of Earth's coral is at risk. The good news is that many people are working to save them. Coral reefs can be the first ecozy term we lose. But that also means it could be the first ecosystem we save, marine biologist Stephen Simpson says. And if we can save the coral reefs, we can save anything. Check out a few ways conservationists are protecting these habitat. Underwater nurseries. Some polyps, the animals that create coral reefs, are harmed by heat waves and pollution, and others die after they're knocked off a reef by strong storms or boat strikes. So conservationists have a cool idea to rebuild struggling reefs. First, scientists from organizations like the Coral Restoration Foundation cut slivers of coral from a healthy reef or rescue bits of coral that have been knocked off. Then these polyps are taken to a nursery, which could be a tank in tanks on land or shallow protected areas underwater. Like holiday ornaments, these coral chunks are hung on metal trees. That exposes them to clean water and tasty zooplankton floating by. Scuba diver researchers monitor the polyps' health and keep the seaweed or sponges from smothering them. After about a year, the scientists use cement clips and zip ties to attach the healthy coral fragments to damaged reefs. As polyps grow, they form a natural permanent bond to the reef. The transplanted nursery-grown corals can bring new life to a struggling habitat. Seaweed smackdown. Pollution and hot ocean temperatures can supercharge seaweed growth, and that's not good for a reef. Too much seaweed prevents baby coral from attaching to the reef. It can also block sunlight from reaching adult coral, which can cause the coral to starve. But conservationists are beating back the seaweed. In Hawaii, scientists have used an underwater vacuum called the Super Sucker to slurp up gobs of seaweed into the device's long hose. In the Bahamas, researchers are enlisting animal allies. We found the fix isn't technology, said Andy Stamper, a Disney conservation science manager. It's sea urchins. The scientists are reintroducing native species like long-spined sea urchins to graze and on excess seaweed like little lawnmowers. National Geographic explorer Hilary Smith is studying a low-tech solution in Australia's Great Barrier Reef, plucking seaweed by hand. It pops off the reef, she says. The fish can feel it, and they come out to eat the critters that were living at the base of the seaweed. Super coral. Coral in the northern Red Sea between Africa and Asia are unusual. They can survive heat waves that would harm corals in other parts of the world. Why? One National Geographic explorer might know the answer. Marine biologist Eslem Osman has discovered that many corals here have a species of algae in their tissue that's found nowhere else. Osman hopes his work will inspire governments and environmental groups to protect these corals so the hardy polyps might someday repopulate reefs around the world. Sound saver. Healthy reefs are noisy. Fish grunt and whoop, and thousands of snapping shrimp create pop bubbles with their claws to create a sound like frying bacon. But when a reef becomes so damaged that those animals leave, the whole ecosystem is in trouble. Excess algae won't be eaten, and nutrient-giving poop vanishes. A coral reef without fish is a reef living on borrowed time, Simpson says. So the marine biologist plays sounds of a healthy reef throughout underwater speakers to attract young fish. He found that 6 weeks of broadcasting healthy reef sounds doubled the amount of fish in the area. Sounds good to us. The big bleach. One of the biggest threats to coral reef is bleaching. Here's how it works. Thriving coral. Most coral species survive by partnering with tiny algae called zooxanthellae. The algae get a safe home inside the coral tissue. In return, algae makes food for the coral by converting sunlight into sugar. Then the coral can use for energy. When two species partner up, it's called symbiosis. Under stress. But when the ocean water gets too hot, the algae produce too much oxygen, which can hurt the coral. Bleaching. So coral kicks out the algae. Algae gives the see-through polyps their colorful look. So when the algae leaves, the color disappears too. This process is called bleaching because the coral appears to turn white. Recovery. If the water temperature decreases quickly, algae can once again live inside the polyps and make food for them. Or death. But if the warming is too intense or lasts too long, the coral will starve and eventually die. You can help. See what you can do to protect the splashy ecosystem. Number one, touching a reef can damage it, so only look at coral while snorkeling. Two, slather on sunscreen labeled Reef Safe, which means it doesn't contain chemicals that can harm coral reefs. Three, sharks help keep coral reefs healthy. They eat prey that might damage the habitat if too many are around. But sharks are killed to harvest their liver, which contains an oil used in products like sunscreen, makeup, and lotion. Choose products that don't have squalene on the ingredient list or are marked cruelty-free. Number four, make sure your aquarium fish were bred in captivity, not taken from wild places like coral reefs. Five, get tips to fight climate change and help prevent coral bleaching. Number six, pick up trash at the beach. Plastic can suffocate coral, and one report found plastic debris on 92% of the reefs studied. Number seven, never buy souvenirs or jewelry made from pieces of coral. This has been the May edition of National Geographic Kids. I'm Chris Radio volunteer Linda Leiden.